right. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of I Can Steal That, the true crime podcast that's never too heavy. I'm your host, Pete Stegmeier. Very excited to be back. It's season two of I Can Steal That. And I'm very happy to be back. This is going to be like bi-weekly at this point. We got incredible guests. We've got some really fun ones lined up. Some really cool episodes to do, and we're kicking it off with a bang. Episode 69, Hell The yeah. Stone of Destiny. I know, nice.
Oh, that's amazing.
I was like, I gotta wait for a good one. And we've got a good one now. It's timely. I'm doing timely podcasts now to, you know, take advantage of the algorithm. And honestly, maybe an admission of guilt. But I'm not saying that Queen Elizabeth II, rest in peace, if that's your thing, if you're not Irish. I'm not saying it's my fault, but I'm saying it worked out really well for my podcast. So, yeah, we are going to cover the Stone of Destiny or the Stone of Scone today, and I'm very excited about that. But before we do that, I want to bring out today's guest. She's a very, very funny comedian from Nashville, an incredible show producer, and new album Pointy Boys is coming out November 11th. Courtney Warner, how's it going?
Oh my God, such a nice intro. Thank you.
And thank you.
I'm chilling, you know? I've had a couple of Miller High Lifes. I'm just having a nice night. How about you?
You know, it's not a proper night without the champagne of beers.
No, never.
Like that was one of my favorite parts of living in Milwaukee is they had like Miller Valley, and it was like the little valley where the brewery was, and they had like a conveyor belt where the beer like went over the street, and it just kind of looked like a sad Christmas village year round.
That's amazing.
And like, and they had like the little like wrought iron gates with like the champagne or with like the moon lady. Mm-hmm. And it was good times.
I would love to see that. That sounds like the type of Christmas that I want. If that's the war on Christmas, and I'll join that war.
That's a lot of people's Christmas in Wisconsin. That's fun and sad. Also, I mean, that was back in the day, that was Dahmertown.
Oh, and and that new show just came out too.
Yeah. Hashtag algorithm hacking.
I was going to say hashtag Evan Peters. And then just for good measure, Kim Kardashian, Pete Davidson, Kanye West, Harry Styles. We got all the hashtags in.
All of them. Florence Pugh. Like yeah. we're trying to get Olivia Wilde's side on us. We don't know.
We don't know, man. We don't know. But I think we do know.
I think we do know.
Yeah. What can you do? No one can be. Everyone in that cast is too beautiful, and they can't be that beautiful without having some issues, you know?
Yeah, exactly. They're all wax fruit. Mm-hmm. Like they look pretty, yeah. But once you sink your teeth in, are you getting nourished? No.
No, you're not. No. I will say we finally learned that Harry Styles is stupid, and I think that's a great thing to know. You know?
You know what? I'm here for it though, because I don't think that there are enough high profile underachievers. Mm-mm. And like, cause like in my high school, like all of like the popular kids, like were all the total package. It was like, oh, I'm going to play football for, you know, the Packers, but I'm going to like sign for Harvard. And I'm like,
come on.
It's not fair. And then you see like all these like actors and stuff like that, and you're like, oh, did you know that they were also like the poet laureate of Croatia?
I'm like, I know, like great, cool. Well, you have straight teeth and a good jawline, and you can read. That's nice. Good for you.
Just let other people be good at stuff,
right?
And so I like that he's just like, I could sing. Mm-hmm. I'm not great at acting. I'll mm-hmm. give it a shot.
Right.
And he's like, and sometimes I do dumb stuff, and that's okay.
Yeah. I like that we now know this, because he is kind of that like, he's like handsome and he can sing and dance. He has the charisma, all that stuff. And so it always comes down to either anyone like that is either going to be stupid or have a small dick. And so now we know.
We do.
And I think that's good information to have.
That's, and you know what? It serves him well. Mm-hmm. And also like, it's just nice, like, because mm-hmm. you know, he can I lost where I was going with this, but it was going to be a banger point. It's going to like derail the whole episode. I'm just gonna be like, yeah, let's just think about this. So it's probably better that I forgot.
Damn. If you think of it, just blurt it out. No context. We'll all get it.
Oh, hold on. I got it. Yeah. Like, cause like you need them to be bad at something. It's like when there's a comic and they're like really funny and they're also good looking. And then like, they're like, you know, I think I'm just going to sing this next one. And I'm like, oh, this is going to be funny because he can't sing. And then like that, like just that asshole is like, oh, you're also like it's okay to like be bad at something.
Right.
And just to like lean into it. Cause it's not realistic. Otherwise you have to have you have to have something like when I found out that Chris Evans is like into politics, I'm like, come on.
I know. Come on, dude.
You have great points. Like, yeah. That's
like what? And you have great points. You have no one coming out of the womb with a face like that should ever have an opinion.
No.
Do absolutely. I sound like an incel? Perhaps, but you know, that's fine.
You know what though? Like, no, we don't like them.
No,
like,
we don't like them.
I was going to say they have a point. I'm like, but they don't.
No,
they don't. They suck. They're awful.
Although I love that you say that they're, you know, comics who are really funny and who are good looking, because I don't think I've met one yet.
There's a couple like, I mean, not many of them. Like, it's not like, but there's some,
like, I'd say like in the cultural zeitgeist, I think the only one that comes to top of mind is like maybe John Mulaney. Cause he has that kind of classic, like 60s kind of look, but
that's fair.
Yeah. Maybe that might just be my own personal preferences coming through, but
you know what? You got to have them.
Yeah. True.
Yeah. No, that's important. But I think we should get into this. I feel like we've lost half the audience.
I know. They're just like, we don't give a fuck about what these people, who they think is hot or not.
That's, you know what? That's my fault. That's all right, though. Because usually by this point, I've lost everybody with already a terrible dad joke. And I got those coming. Like, those are still in the shoot.
Oh, but, yeah.
But anyways, did you hear what happened?
What?
Queen Elizabeth II is dead.
Whoa, crazy. This is the first time I've ever heard this information.
Yeah, it would be kind of fun if I just never addressed it, but but she is, that is true. Queen Elizabeth II has died. And now people, England, are planning the coronation of King Charles III. Which makes it a perfect time for this episode.
Yes.
Because we have actually previously, I think like way back in like episode 5, covered a theft involving King Charles I. I like to call him KC-1.
Just like a Star Wars androids. Just
exactly. They like just so many. You got to. Like KC-3, he's not great, but like he's functional, like he's like a protocol droid. But yeah, so like the first episode, or one of the first episodes we did, was about the crown jewels that Thomas Blood, fantastic Irishman, stole from the crown in the Tower of London. And actually the same crown jewels that you saw like on the Queen's casket as they were moving. And it did not look so if you haven't listened to the episode, you should definitely go back. But like my favorite part is that he's trying to shove like the crown down his pants to escape. And then he just like smashes the shit out of it so that it fits better. Oh, and they did a real good job of restoring it.
Damn. Is that why they call, also, is this podcast, what's the rating on this podcast?
Oh, we don't care. We hate.
Oh, thank God. Okay. We hate. Yeah. I hate structure. I hate order and being told what not to say. So
that's, none of the woke left censoring you hear.
Yeah, none of that here, guys. You better listen up. You better buckle up for some hard truths. So I just want to know, is that why they call men's balls the crown jewels?
You know, I really hope that is the case. Like, I really do. I'm going to go with that. Mm-hmm. Like, and if you're a historian and you know whether or not that's true, write in if it's true. If not, just keep that shit to yourself.
Right. Like, right. Don't ruin it for us. Come on. It's like telling us Santa Claus isn't real.
Hold on. What?
Oh, I'm kidding. That's a joke.
Okay. Funny joke.
I know. Thank you. I just came up with it.
Okay. Good. I'm just going to trust you and not Google that then. But yeah, so this was Casey 1. Now we got Casey 3. And today we are going to be talking about the Stone of Destiny. Yeah, it sounds so much cooler than it is.
I love it. I love it. Like, it's like Harry Potter and the Stone of Destiny.
It should have been like the Philosopher's Stone. Yes. That's dumb as shit.
It's so who wants to care? Who cares what a fucking philosopher does, you know?
Exactly.
Destiny is more important. Destiny's child.
That's right. The only queen I stand. anyways, you know what? I'm going to count that as dad joke one. Yes. They'll get worse. But so the Stone of Destiny is also called the Stone of Scone or the Coronation Stone. Okay. The Coronation Stone is the only one that really makes sense. Mm-hmm. But it is an enormous slab of red sandstone, weighing just over 300 pounds and measuring like 26 inches by 16 by 10. If you had to like put that into like real world object size, it's about the size of a couch cushion.
Oh, damn.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. So like a big stony couch cushion. And that's not a coincidence. For centuries, this stone has been part of the coronation throne, which is the traditional seat in Westminster Abbey that kings and queens of England, including Elizabeth and soon to be Casey III, like have sat on. So they've basically got like this chair just for being coronated. And so it's like this big, like giant wooden oak throne. And then there's like a big rocky couch cushion with like a couple grommets, okay. So that you can like move it, like just things to hook chains up to. And for a while, like for hundreds of years, they just sat flat on the rock.
Oh God.
And everyone's like, you know what? It's not easy. It's not easy being on top. But then they kind of like after I believe in the 1700s, they decided to put an oak bench over it. So like you're still sitting on top of the stone, mm-hmm. but like you've got like an oak bench like between you and the rock.
Okay. Interesting. I mean, damn. Between the inbreeding and this chair, I don't know. I don't know if being royal is all it's cracked up to be.
No, it doesn't. It does not seem very fun.
No.
And like, I should also point out, like when I say that originally the monarch sat directly on it, I don't mean like completely originally through British history, because like every other artifact of the English monarchy, the stone was stolen by England during a war.
Oh, of course.
I mean, you could just make a British history podcast called I Can Steal That, and it would like an eye. Don't do that. Like, I've got the trademark. I will come for you.
But that would be in true British fashion if they stole it.
They would. I wouldn't even put it past them.
Yeah. So.
All right. So. I've been talking about a rock for quite a while. The stone originally belonged to Scotland and is named the Stone of Scone. After the Scone Monastery, where it was originally stolen by Edward I. Hmm. So following the first Scottish War of Independence, he's like, I'm taking your rock. And he just put it on top of the chair, which became known as King Edward's chair, because the only thing the British are better at than, you know, stealing things from cultures is giving it the worst possible and most predictable names.
King Edward's chair.
Yeah, they're just, oh, it's King Edward. Like, I mean, I get it. I admire the efficiency.
Right.
But I mean, like, has some flair.
I know. Like, you're like, you just stole a rock from these people. Certainly you have other ideas. You got to. Yeah.
I mean, maybe that's why it's called the Stone of Destiny, because they're like, let's make this cooler. And they're like,
right.
The Coronation Stone, Melige. And yeah. He's like, nay, the Stone of Destiny. And they're like, God damn, this guy.
It's just, ooh, King Edward's like chair, Jesus. I know. Yeah, exactly. I know. Very sexy. Got to make it sexy. A stone, you know.
You got to.
Yeah.
That's why they call it getting your rocks off. But that's
dad joke number two.
I need a counter. So. Yes. So eventually King Edward's chair becomes known as the Coronation Chair, and it sits in Westminster Abbey full time in London. That is, until four Scottish students, or heroes, decided to take it back.
Oh, shit.
All right. So we're going to take our first ad break. This part is brought to you by Onnit, O-N-N-I-T. I'm just kidding. Fuck Joe Rogan.
Pete and I are new friends. So, you never know.
I had to test the water. I just like saw the hope and I'm like, no, I gotta salvage this. I will one day do an episode on the grift that is the Joe Rogan Experience, because I have to admire the temerity of a man who says the dumbest shit I've ever heard in my life and then goes and sells you brain pills.
I know. Oh, God. Grow your brain. If you make your head really big, then it'll be more room for ideas from him.
That's right. That's why Theo Von is so good at finding open mics in Nashville.
Oh, Jesus Christ. He's so good at finding and looking for things, you know?
Yeah, he sure is.
What a smart, smart man.
Yeah, no, this break is brought to you by all the comedy bridges I'm burning.
Bro, I mean, you're right there with the rest of us. So like, oh, God. I've heard, maybe off the air I can share some other things, but you know.
I would love that. I love like the English, like hot tea. I like hot goss.
Oh, I love talking shit, man. That's like I'll do that. I'll either smash a 12 pack or talk shit. Either way, I feel amazing either way.
That's the way to do it. Either way, you're ruining your kid's birthday party.
Yes.
good times. All right. So let's get into the actual story of the heist. We're about 20 minutes in. This might be a record. You know, I miss the banter.
Yeah.
Like I like researching the crimes, but the banter is what fuels me.
That's why we exist on this planet, is just to keep connect and communicate, you know, like other than we're just pieces of mass.
100%. 100%. So, speaking of mass, on Christmas Eve, 1950, that's pretty good, actually. I'm proud of that one.
That was good.
Okay, so on Christmas Eve, 1950, a student named Ian Hamilton and three other Scottish students named Kay Matheson, Alan Stewart, and Gavin Vernon, they leave Scotland. They're from Glasgow, and they start driving down to London in two separate cars. And this trip takes them about 20 hours, which to me is mind-boggling, because you probably could walk it in 20 hours.
Yeah.
It's not that big. It's like Indiana.
Mm-hmm.
Damn. I mean, I overestimate my walking abilities a lot. That's near.
I do that too.
But
don't worry.
But I did Google this, and I think it's like an 8-hour drive. And yeah. They did it in 20. I don't like they were Scottish, so they were probably drunk.
I was gonna say college students. Yeah, they're probably just, you know, they're probably peeing off the side of bridges or something. I don't know.
That's true. And neither car had heat. So, like, it wasn't enjoyable. Like, you would think that they would be trying to, like, go as, like, at least gun it so, like, the engine overheats and you get, like, some of that, like, mm-hmm. sweet. But so that doesn't really help things move along as much as you'd think.
Damn.
But they decide to take back the stone. And the plan, like some of this had been planned a few days prior. Like the planning actually goes back a bit longer, but in the earlier days before the heist, Ian actually goes and scouts out the Abbey. So he does like the little tourist thing where he's like, you know, just walking through the building, kind of trying to pay attention to see like what does security look like. It's 1950, so there's really not cameras, but they're trying to see like, okay, like how many guards are there? Where is the stone, you know, and how can I get in here? And it's really at this, like during one of his recon missions, that he figures out that one of the side doors is actually not like the big, strong, sturdy oak that is traditionally used, but is actually pine, which is a much softer, more pliable wood.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
Definitely would fire that architect.
Right? You have to. And so basically he makes a note of the store and realizes, okay, this is how we're going to get in. And during one of his visits, this is maybe one of my favorite parts. Like Hamilton would kind of pay attention to what the closing procedures were. So he'd be like, okay, like at 10 o'clock, they start, you know, ushering everybody out. And then it's like two people breaking things out and just kind of getting a feel for, you know, casing the joint. And he kind of just stays there watching for as long as he can because he's trying to gather information. And one of the people working at the Abbey just assumes that he's like a drunkard, mm-hmm. which isn't uncommon.
Yeah.
And so he like walks him out of the building, you know, very kindly, and then gives him a coin just to kind of be like, hey, you know, like get yourself a hot cup of coffee or a meal. Mm-hmm. And what I love about Hamilton is that this is the only part that he, like, regrets.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, he's like, I don't feel bad about anything except taking, like, $1.50 from this dude.
Oh, my God.
Which is aggressively Scottish.
Yeah. Damn. The only regret. All right.
Exactly. And he had money, to be clear. Like, he had gotten... he'd actually been paid £50 from one of the Scottish National Party leaders, a guy named John McCormick.
Oh, so I guess I can see why he'd feel a little guilty. He's like, oh, I'm actually fine, but I can't let people know what I'm doing. So exactly. I'll just take the money.
Exactly. Because this heist is like a matter of like national pride. And mm-hmm. so like some of the people from like Scottish politics are like, yeah, like we'll pay for it. For 20-year-olds to break into Westminster Abbey. And so they like fund it. And like, even though McCormick like funds this, he's never actually like formally implicated or indicted in any of this.
Oh, damn. Just like some Charles Manson shit.
Exactly. It's
damn.
Exactly. He's just like, be real cool if you stole that. And damn. So They drive out on Christmas Eve, and eventually, like, they get in the early hours of Christmas Day, they arrive at the Abbey. And they know that, like, they know at this point, like, the Abbey will be closed, which is pretty wild considering it's Christmas. And, like, usually, you know, usually there would be a big mass. But Kay Matheson, she stays in one of the cars, and she just kind of keeps it running as like a getaway driver. Mm-hmm. And the three men run inside with the crowbar. They go up to that pine door, and they're able to pry it open pretty quickly. Once they're in, they go straight towards like the giant chair because you really can't miss it.
Right.
And at this point, like, that's about as easy as it gets.
Yeah,
because basically, once they get to the chair, remember that oak bench that I told you about, like that they kind of put on just for comfort.
Oh, right, right.
That kind of blocks the ability to like easily get to the stone, so you can still see. Like, there's like a little viewing port where you see mm-hmm. the stone, so that you know that it's there. Mm-hmm. But it makes it a lot harder to get to. And also this thing is like 300 pounds.
Oh my God. When you're saying like oak bench, I guess in my mind, I don't know why my mind went to like a wicker, like a wicker bench. I don't know. So definitely. Yeah. Solid wood. That's what that is.
Yeah. It's basically a church pew with a huge rock in the middle of it.
Just like every 14-year-old boy in Mass. Am I right?
Oh, good times. I'm having like flashbacks to my altar boy days.
Oh no. Were you one of the cute ones or were you safe?
I was one of the lucky ones.
Nice. Good for you, man.
No, because I still got bullied for looking weird in high school.
But you knew that, like, you're God making you look weird, to, you know, not like your opinion, not mine. God making you look weird. What saved you from God's own hands?
That could be. Also, our priest only had one eye. He had like an eye patch. So I feel like his depth perception maybe made me look more grotesque.
Right. He also just might not have seen you.
That's true. I just stayed on his left. And yeah. Was, like, I did like dinosaur rules. Like, I called it the Velocipaster.
Yeah. And, oh my God. That's amazing. Oh man, your own Jurassic Park.
That's right. It was my Vietnam.
Yeah. Oh man.
All right. So also, like, these guys are like drunk college kids. They did not stop to think about like how heavy this was going to be. Like, they're just like, oh, like the big rock. Like, they're Scottish, so I get it. They're just naturally strong. Mm-hmm. But like, yeah, the thing was way heavier than they thought it was going to be. And so they had to like break, like there was a little grill that protected the stone. They break that out. And then as they're trying to break off like parts of the oak bench themselves, they're able to pull the stone like and kind of slide it off the chair. But once it comes down, they drop it like really quickly because it's 300 pounds. Oh.
Gosh.
And like, I could control that. You can't.
No.
Like I, it's like me trying to do a push up. Like, I'm coming down faster than I think I'm going to.
I feel I'm trying to learn. I'm trying to teach myself how to do at least one push up, a proper one. That's what part of my New Year's resolutions for this year were, to learn how to juggle, to express myself when I'm upset with people more clearly, and also to do one push up.
I like it. Those are good. You gotta keep everything attainable. How have you like made progress? Like, can you do a push up or juggle yet?
Not the juggling I've been working on. It's been kind of hard. Push up, I've been doing these workouts, and like, no. And I've gotten a little bit better at expressing my feelings to people, though. So I guess that's maybe the important one.
That's you know, that's the real heavy lifting.
Yeah, and thank you.
I am proud. That's important.
Thank you. It was more of an out of necessity. I'm like, oh, I need to actually get this under control. Like,
that's fair.
Or else I'm not going to have any friends because I won't tell them anything. And then I'll be mad. And they won't know why. So
that's fair. That's really good. This segment brought to you by BetterHelp.
Yeah. Love it.
You know, this is going to continue until I get some advertisers.
You got to. Let's just like throw out, this episode is sponsored by NordVPN. If you're worried about someone stealing your stone and you want to hide it in a secure place on the internet, try NordVPN. It'll say you're in Japan, but you're really still in Westminster.
That's right. It's the perfect alibi for committing crimes. NordVPN.
It is. Why don't they sponsor you? This is perfect.
They 100% should. I'm going to try
to sponsor everyone.
It's, you know, it's the priest all over again. I'm just like, why am I not good enough?
Why am I not pretty enough? Well, Pete, you're great just the way you are. Whether or not you were diddled or not as a child, or we'll get a sponsor. This is going to probably get you this will not get you monetized. And I apologize. This episode will never,
you know what? Either it's going to, or it's either not going to get me monetized, or there's going to be like some weird niche fetish and I'm going to make more money than I've ever seen in my life.
Dude. Okay. So there are people out there who will message. I have guy friends. I'm not going to say who, because we know some mutual ones that they get like DM'd asking for, like, basically having like a sugar daddy. Like, you know, and it's like people like you. There's some that I'm like, okay, that kind of tracks, like why they would do whatever. But other ones, I'm just like, oh, that's quite a random choice, but all right. So there's hope out there for you.
I like it. No, oh man. Feeling hopeful.
Yeah, they get a sugar daddy.
That's right. You know, it's the skeptic in me. I'm like, this isn't. Like, that's what would stop me. It's not like the being the sugar baby. It's the fact that I'd be like, this isn't real. I'm going to get hurt.
You're going to get your heart broken. There is this website, though, that I have old coworkers who have tried out, called Seeking Arrangements. Have you heard of this?
I have not.
Oh, my God. So, like, apparently you can go on there and there's different degrees of, like, what these rich people are looking for, whether it's just, like, a companion to go to dinner with them and just sit there and, like, look like their hot date. or full on to the, some of the nastiest shit you've ever heard of, but you make a couple thousand dollars. So,
oh, that's, that actually sounds quite a bit like LinkedIn,
right?
I've had to do some truly grotesque spreadsheets and stuff.
God, fucking LinkedIn, man.
It's, I hate LinkedIn.
It's worse than Facebook at this point.
It is, because every single, this is a bit of a side, but we're going to get to the stone. Like, it, spoiler alert, they steal it. But
we're going to get stoned in a little bit, guys. Don't worry.
But like, I hate LinkedIn because there's always like it's cringe, but I don't, it's like all these people that are like, I was walking down the street and this guy, like, you know, was like, you know, asked me for a dollar and he looked disheveled and was super homeless. And it always feels like very shamey and judgy. Oh. And then they do like the dot, dot, dot. And they're like, but 6 years later, he's our CISO and, or like whatever the, like,
right.
And I'm just like, absolutely. Like, you wouldn't interview kids with bachelor degrees because they didn't have 2 years of free. You did not hire a homeless person.
1,000%.
And teach yourself about humanity. Like, that's.
No, shut. Yeah. Get the fuck out of here. And like,
you can't even give us sick time.
No. Oh, thank you. Yeah. You can't. Yeah. You can't recognize that, you know, mental health or anything like that. So what do you think that guy's got going on? He's probably got a whole stew pot of mental health issues going on. You going to treat those? With that dollar? No, you're not. I'm just saying. Oh, anyway, I see those and I see like the congratulate so-and-so on their new position. And then it's like, I just don't understand like job roles at all. Like these long ass titles. I'm just like, I guess this is good for them. I don't know. You know what I mean?
I do.
And like company names like Insight, but it's EYINCYTE or some shit.
There's so many bad ones. Like, Nashville is about to become a tech town, which I'm excited about, but also like fearing because it's going to depend on like the type of tech bro that's that come in. Like, we're going to get Oracle and not looking forward to those people.
No.
Oracle's whatever, but it's a certain type. I am looking forward to like just seeing, and I like to do this like if I'm ever in like Silicon Valley at the airport, my favorite game is to just like have conversations like over people to where like they think that I'm like the CEO of a startup.
Oh,
and I come up with some. So like the last one that I did, and then somebody like reached out and like asked me like, hey, do you have a LinkedIn? Was that I was the CEO of a startup called Upstart that just helps startups.
Oh my God. Oh my God. You're a genius. I love that.
It was a lot of fun. I probably could have fleeced that man for a lot of money. And just be like, yeah, like we charge a $250,000 flat consulting fee and I'll tell you what's wrong with your startup.
You can fleece him along with getting a little one of those Patagonia fleeces that they all have.
You gotta have the Patagucci. And if
that's a new one, I've never heard that.
And if yours has sleeves, get the fuck away from me and come back right.
Yeah, cut those sleeves off, rip them off if you have to.
Exactly. If I can't see your arms, I can't take you seriously in tech.
Right. If I can't see your checked shirt underneath your little fleece vest, then I don't trust you.
If there's not one piece of vineyard vines.
Oh, doll, get the fuck out of here.
If you don't say slacks.
Right, slacks.
Or trousers.
Or you're not on Slack, then you're basically a domestic terrorist.
Exactly. 100%.
Thank you for understanding. I work for kind of a tech startup in hedge funds, so I understand.
I had to finally leave. I worked in fintech, and I'm like.
Yep, I know them.
Yeah.
Damn, we do quite a bit of work with like consulting work for like with hedge funds. So we find people from different companies. So Oracle is one that comes across quite a bit, like a lot of people from like Salesforce and all that stuff. So I feel that.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. Like I'm doing great work. I'm making the world better.
You are. It feels great.
It sure does. Actually, I do like my current job.
I also like my job. I'm like, it's chill as fuck, man. Like, I show up, do my thing, then I'm done.
Exactly. You know what's not done?
It's the story.
That's right. And it's not done well, because these four Scots, the three inside and the one in the getaway car, they forget that rocks are heavy. Mm-hmm. And as they're like pulling it off the bench, it falls to the ground and breaks in twain, or in half, if you're fancy. And worse still, it's uneven. So there's like a big piece and then there's like a little piece.
Yeah, that's amazing.
However, like if you've ever seen a Scot like in mid disaster, they're kind of optimists. Like they're always like, oh well, at least the smaller one's going to be easy. So they like take that one first. He's like a little bit of silver lining in this thundercloud, and so they lift it up. They hurry outside. They throw it in the back seat of the car, and just as they start running back in to get like the second piece, they hear a cop.
Oh no.
Oh, don't worry. They got a plan. It's a classic. It's like the best way to get out of trouble if you're on a heist. So he's there with Kay Matheson, the driver. And he's like, oh no, this cop is going to like, he's going to know something's up. And they just start making out all steamy.
Oh my God. That is genius.
It is. And the cop's like, hey, what are you two getting into? And like the guy's Scottish and he's probably saying something cheeky like, hurry if you leave me alone, or something like that. That's not a great Scottish accent. It doesn't matter. I should have done Shrek. But but they pretend like that they're basically two lovers on a wee drive, and they're looking for a bed and breakfast. And apparently they thought the most famous church on the planet might be a bed and breakfast.
Amazing. Amazing.
And he's just like, oh, you cheeky kids. And he takes off.
That's incredible. Wow. I'm going to have to start using that more often.
It's a good way to get out of like ticket jury duty. Yeah. Like,
wow. Damn. That's a good one. It's flu season, COVID season. Pucker up, guys. We got some business to take care of.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. So basically this happens. Kay decides like once the cop is gone to kind of drive around the block a little bit just to, you know, not arouse suspicion. Mm-hmm. And Ian starts going back into the church to, you know, get the other two guys and pull out the rest of the stone. But he discovers that they kind of took off in fear because they also heard the cop.
Gotcha. Oh, shit.
Yeah, but you can't steal half a stone of scone. They're not quitters. That's why they said the first Scottish Revolution, not the only Scottish Revolution. These guys keep trying. Mm-hmm.
Damn.
I mean, that sentence is a lot sadder if you look into it at all. But like, yeah, yeah. But we're going to go with the message there. and so Ian Hamilton, like he thinks pretty quickly and he takes his coat off and he's able to like throw the remaining chunk of the stone onto his coat and kind of drag it towards the car.
Wow. And that's still going to be like, what, a couple, like what, like 200 pounds still?
Yeah. Yeah. We'll say it broke into thirds. I'm not sure how accurate that is. Mm-hmm. But like, we'll say 200 pounds. That's still like, you're still dragging a body.
Yeah. That's so like, who even lifts that? I'm sure people can lift 200 pounds, but...
Yeah, but it's still like, and also, how well made is that jacket?
Right. I mean, back then, though, I feel like, you know, they made things to last, unlike now. Yeah,
they were hardy.
Right. They knew like they were gonna have to have like some quality shit because they do stuff like this, I guess.
Yeah, it's kind of a. I wish that we could go back to that because you can't do that shit with Shein.
No,
H&M, get out of here.
Oh yeah, fuck off, man. I mean, what's even Patagucci probably doesn't last forever, honestly.
Except for the smart wool, and it'll keep it dry as it does it. This section brought to you by Patagonia.
Do you like your CEOs who just quit?
You know what? He left it all to nature, which is an interesting.
That is.
I mean,
he's still getting a kickback from that, though.
Oh, yeah. It's all a scam.
Oh, 100%.
It's all a grift, but...
You know, and nature, like, what's nature going to do with it? Like, nature can't pay its own bills.
No.
We're destroying nature. We've taken all of its agency away, and yeah. You know.
We're the repo men for nature. We are.
God.
So, like, Hamilton, like, he drags this giant stone to the second car. And, like, kind of does, like, that World's Strongest Man, like, the deadlift thing where, you got to pick up the rock. And he throws it in the trunk of the car. And pretty much as soon as he does, his other two buddies come back from the bar. And they're like, oh, like, this wrapped up just...
Of course, they're at the fucking bar just like, oh, I'm going to drink. Oh, this job is pointless. Let's go drink.
These cheeky bastards. just having a bit of a drink. But all three of them get back in the car and they drive away together. So the three men are in the car with the larger stone. And Kay is driving with the smaller piece by herself. Right. And almost immediately, the theft is discovered. Like within minutes.
Damn. So who caught him?
So the night watchman of the Abbey immediately sees that this chair is busted up and just calls the police.
Oh, I see.
And the authorities, like, they start setting roadblocks up, like, all over, like, all the roads out of London. And they close the borders with Scotland and Wales because they're like, we know who, like, when you're England, you have a list of probable suspects.
Oh, yeah.
You're like, we know a couple people that might hate us enough to do this. Like, they're self-aware.
Right. They know. They know they're bitchy.
Exactly.
They're like Regina George, you know, they know.
100%. Regina George the first.
Yes. Oh, nice.
RG1.
Damn.
And so because Matheson, like, she kind of left, like, she left basically after that first kiss.
Mm-hmm.
Like, to avoid, that makes it sound like there's a romance. But she pretty much, like, takes off, like, with that first piece, like, after the mm-hmm. after they fool the police. And so she's able to get quite a bit further away and kind of get ahead of the roadblocks. And so she's able to get through those. And also, like, the fact that it was just, like, a woman driving by herself mm-hmm. at, like, the early morning. They're like, you know what? The cops, they're not the most progressive. And they're like, there's no way a woman stole this 300-pound stone.
Right. No, they're just like, oh, she's a lady of the night.
Yeah. Like, they're thinking much worse.
Right.
Things. Like, they're underestimating her strength.
Yes. They don't even know.
Exactly. They don't. She could have done it by herself, I bet.
I think so, too. With that jacket from Patagonia, I'm sure.
Absolutely. And so they also become pretty confident, like, early on, because they're like, oh, this rock is big as hell. It's got to be more than one person. So the fact that she was by herself, like, allowed her to kind of slip through. And this was just under a piece of a blanket.
Mm-hmm.
The guys were not as lucky, like, in terms of just not looking conspicuous, because it's just three Scottish guys in a car. You know, if you check the back seat, it's probably sitting a little lower. So they decide that they need to get rid of this piece, like, pretty quick. And so they actually stop. They get to Kent, and they actually bury the stone.
What?
Yeah. They just, like, they find an empty field, they bury it, and they're like, oh, we'll remember where this is. And a little while later, they come back to, like, you know, retrieve the stone. And they find, like, that the field that they had buried it in was now home to, like, a Romani camp. Like, so,
oh,
like,
shit.
Travelers had kind of, like, come in, and they're like, which is just straight out of a movie.
Oh, 100%.
Like that would for sure happen.
Mm-hmm.
Eventually, though, they do come back, like, when the Romani are gone, and they're able to dig the stone up and return it to Scotland. And basically, as soon as they get over the border, they pull out a bottle of whiskey and just soak it in it as, like, a welcome home.
Aww.
It's, that's cool. Yeah. it's delightful. It's like very, it's like a, it's sweet. I'm happy that they did that. And then they immediately set out to find a mason to repair the stone and kind of put it back together.
Oh, yeah. Okay. So they probably linked back up with that girl and they were able to, you know, like get it all glued back together.
Exactly. And to this day, like, nobody's really sure who did that. Like, because the stone was repaired in secret. And it's also one of those things where it's like the Scottish and they're like, oh, we're not going to tell anybody. It's like they would like I am Spartacus it and just, you know. Nobody sees anything.
I love that story. Oh my God.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. Like, and like it makes headlines around the world. Mm-hmm. So like people in the US are like, and they actually like, there's a guy in Texas called E.B. Adams. Mm-hmm. He carves a replica, which isn't, you know, I'm just going to say it, like, nice effort. I appreciate it. It's a rectangle. You're not carving a replica.
Right.
But they give it back to the English as like a gift. Like, they're like, oh, well, here's the making. You can't not have your king rock. And like, there's all sorts of like crazy like theories and like newspapers are like, basically it's the hotness. It's the Lindbergh baby for a bit. And everyone's like, oh, like we think we saw it in Samoa or like, like everybody's just like, I saw a rock, and
so have they made any movies or anything? That'd be a really like fun heist movie.
Yeah, it would be a really fun. I don't know that they have.
Well, Pete, I think that's our job. We got to write this.
I think we got to do it. Like, I think, I think, yeah, we got to.
And already thinking about the cast, it could just be all the actors who were in Harry Potter, and just because they're adults, I can just play them now.
That's right. I like it. And so while like most of the world is kind of delighted with it, because, you know, it's the 50s, and the rest of the world doesn't really like England. Like, they're like, yeah, World War II is like great. Like, thanks for helping with that. But you also like have stolen from literally all of us. Mm-hmm. And so like, at any time that it's mentioned in Scotland, like people just start like cracking up and like smiling. So it's like how we were in like the 80s, like when you had mentioned like the Miracle on Ice for a few years.
Yeah. That's a wonderful analogy.
Thank you. And so basically like there's a bit of, like the English are obviously very upset about it. They get Scotland Yard on it. And despite the name, they're very English. And so they start like, you know, basically going around and like asking librarians, like, has anybody been like researching like the Stone of Scone?
Yeah.
Yeah. I wouldn't have thought of that.
No. Wow. That's very smart.
And so basically the police start like going to libraries in Scotland, and eventually in Glasgow, there's a library called Mitchell Library. Mm-hmm. And Ian Hamilton had actually checked out books in his name. And he, like, more damning was the fact that every single book the library had about Westminster Abbey, he checked out.
Oh no.
And so slowly they start like getting the names of everybody else involved. So Kay Matheson, they search her family's house like multiple times for the stone.
Oh man.
But none of the people questioned, like, they don't give them an inch.
Good.
Yeah, no, I love it. Like, like, I know like the Fifth Amendment is not a thing overseas, but like, don't. Never talk to police.
Right. Come on. Fuck that.
That's rule number one. Do not talk to the cops.
Yeah.
But, none of them like give an inch to the police while they're being questioned, but they all do kind of they view this theft as activism because they're like, okay, this is raising the profile of Scotland. Like, this is like another example of like, hey, this was like one of our most like sacred artifacts in Scottish history, and the English just stole it, and now they're upset about it. And so it kind of like, you know, raises that international profile, which everybody is generally pretty happy about outside of England. And so after After a while, like the four of them kind of realize, like, hey, we should probably like get ahead of this a little bit. And so they reach out to some town counselors, which are kind of like DAs. Mm-hmm. But these ones are like the guys they reach out to are like pretty known figures in terms of like Scottish nationalism and kind of like trying to push for that, like, you know, separation from the UK and like that whole political movement. Like, so they're basically going to DAs that they know like would be cool in theory with the crime.
Gotcha.
Okay.
And so they arrange to meet these counselors at like in the middle of the Scottish countryside. And they're like, hey, we'll bring you the stone at like the ruins of this Arbroath Abbey, which is like an old abandoned church. And so a couple months later, so it's stolen on Christmas Day. This happens April 11th of 1951. So like 4 months or so after. The two counselors, like the two lawyers or DAs, are standing by the Abbey, and all of a sudden three of them just kind of like three of the students appear. And then like the counselors actually come forward and like they help them move the stone. And there's actually like a pretty cool picture that's going to be in the show notes of them just kind of like carrying this thing on a litter. Okay. And it's pretty cool because they actually place it like on the floor of the Abbey, like where like the high altar would have originally stood.
Oh, that's so cool.
It's kind of like a coming home thing.
Yeah. Oh, that's really cool.
And so the students like pretty quickly leave. Mm-hmm. And they're like, hey, we're going to get out of here. The lawyers wait a few minutes for them to be gone. And then they tell the police, like, hey, like, look what just showed up here.
Oh, no.
And no, it's fine because they did it to like cover for him. Because like,
oh, I see.
They're
oh,
like,
shit.
Yeah, we just kind of like happened to be walking over here and. What?
Right.
Crazy. And the like, but they also have the custodian like kind of lock the gates to prevent anything from like, you know, from it being stolen in the future until the cops arrive. Mm-hmm. And then the police come. They promptly like take it back to the headquarters, lock it in a cell. Like the stone gets its own jail cell. The police are like, okay, well, you probably saw these guys, right? And they're like, well, these like it needs to be a movie. It would be mm-hmm. too good. It's too good. Because they're like, oh, well, you know, we saw people carrying the stone, but like, you know, their heads were bowed, like, you know, really reverently, like walking into the – so we couldn't get a good look at their faces. I have no idea what these guys look like. They were just too godly.
Oh, my God. This needs to be a movie. Holy shit.
Yeah, and it's pretty amazing because everybody gets away with it.
Yeah.
Like, Scotland raises its profile. England gets the stone back. Mm-hmm. Although it does later get used in negotiations so that it can be returned to Scotland as its, like, ancestral home. Mm-hmm. And now that King Charles KC3 is going to be coronated, they're going to transfer the stone from the abbey in Scone to mm-hmm. Westminster Abbey for the ceremony and then give the stone back.
Oh, wow.
So it was actually a big deal for Scottish rights and Scottish independence. Mm-hmm. As weird as that sounds, it was a really cool, like, I like to say it's, I'm going to call it a moral theft. Like,
yeah,
you know, nobody was hurt. Everything mm-hmm. worked out well. And a lot of good was done because of this.
Yeah. Damn. It's very Robin Hood-esque without like with the mindset of Robin Hood of like, oh, I'm going to do something good. And then. You know,
exactly. And it's really cool because like it was the same stone that Queen Elizabeth sat on in 1953 when she was, you know, coronated. Mm-hmm. But in 1996 is when the English authorities returned the stone, basically on the condition that they can use it for ceremonies.
Oh, OK. Gotcha. That's kind of a little bit like a Sony and Marvel with Spider-Man kind of deal.
Yeah, it's kind of their Spider-Man. It's like reddish, and and so
can
now
use it for certain things,
exactly. Know. And other than that, it just sits in Edinburgh Castle, mm-hmm. And then it goes to Westminster Abbey. So it's great. It's living a happy life. It's like it's like the stone version of like a farm for dogs to run around on.
Right. It's like a two Christmases. You get divorced parents.
Exactly. And apparently, and I don't know how true this is, but according to the four, you know, thieves, like basically after they returned it to the Abbey to give to the DA, like they just kind of like walked their separate ways and never met each other again.
Oh, wow.
I feel like that's probably like one of those like old wives tales, but it's pretty still, cool.
That's really like a very romantic way of looking at it. If that's the case, like, oh, we just never spoke again.
Yeah, exactly. Like we had sat out what we'd done to do. And that, I think I just like spoke improperly, but mm-hmm. it sounded very Scottish. So I'm going to, we'd done what to do.
Done what to do, donkey.
Head, move. But yeah, that's the story of the Stone of Scone, the Stone of Destiny, the Coronation Stone.
Oh man, I loved it. Oh my God, if that's not like a fucking children's book or something, or like made into like a little animated series, we're just out here like trying to make shit work for ourselves. So I'm like, oh, we can just make this into a series and sell it to HBO. Certainly.
100%. It's better than Game of Thrones.
It is. It's better than whatever they're showing. Better than what? House of the Dragon and the Five fucking Rings on Amazon or whatever the hell.
I've been liking the Rings of Power, but Bran Stark doesn't end up with this fucking stone. So it's better than.
Right.
Than that but, shit.
Agreed. And then like in maybe less incest. I don't know. I'll just throw that one out there for an idea.
That's fair. I mean, you can never know 100% that there's none.
That's true.
But you can generally feel like there's less.
Right. If you don't have to show it, you know, how about don't tell and don't show?
I think that's fair.
Yeah.
Man.
That's a good story.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. Like I was like really pleasantly surprised when I started reading through this because I'm like, oh, this is going to be boring. But it was kind of fun. It was cheeky. And mm-hmm. I feel like sometimes you need like a good feel-good cheeky heist.
I agree because I also did a true crime podcast for a little while. We did. We stopped after 50 episodes and it was improvised. So it was like more fun, but like doing like any kind of research for true crime, I'm like, this is really, really bleak. All of it is bleak.
It all is. That's kind of why I like doing this one because it's like, mm-hmm. like I'm not going to ruin my day like doing the research for this.
Yeah.
Like I might get bored. That happens a lot, but I'm not going to like have flashbacks.
Right. Well, dude, I just started watching Dahmer on Netflix and it is good. I think Evan Peters is really, he's a really good actor, but like, man, it's kind of hard to get through where I'm like, and this is considered entertainment at this point now, but you know, it's also just like hard to watch. It's just interesting.
Yeah. It's a weird one. Like, cause like I haven't seen it yet. I'll probably mm-hmm. watch it. Like I'm from Wisconsin and it's weird because like Dahmer is our most famous guy.
Yeah. That like, sucks.
Yeah. It's like for a while, like every once in a while, like Aaron Rodgers will be at the top, but that is, it always,
oh, well, gee, that's not a whole lot better.
It's not much better. And it's just, yeah, it's, and like, we have so many weird, like so many weird serial killers. I think it's because everybody in the Midwest, like in Wisconsin in particular, it's not that we know, like we don't think that something is wrong. It's that it's too polite for us to bring that up. Mm-hmm. And so it'd be like, oh yeah, get in your van. Okay. Yeah. Seems like that might be real heavy to lift there. You know, you got to do it with your knees. Right. And that's how you end up on a milk cart. That's why we drink so much milk. It's not like for the calcium. It's to like find our friends.
Oh, that's not a joke. That should be. That's so good. I mean, if you want to go conspiracy theory route, why are there so many cows in the Midwest for so much milk for all the missing people?
You know what? I think there's something there.
Big Dairy coming for you. Today is sponsored by Got Milk.
That's right. It's called 2% because that's the number of cold cases that get solved.
Oh, got him. That's not even a dad joke. That's a good one.
That's just an indictment of our justice
system. Yes. Oh, man.
Yeah, so this is super fun. If people want to find you on social media, see some of the shows that you're doing, what's the best way for them to find you and, you know, just, be able to to get all the premium Courtney content they want.
Oh man, it is premium. It's premium for an economical price of free. And yeah, you can follow me at Courtney Warner 13 on Instagram, and that will link to all my other social media too. And that's Courtney without a U. Just think about it; you'll figure it out. And I have shows on there. I post reels. It links to my Twitter and Facebook and TikTok and all of that. So that's kind of the central hub where I like to keep everything. So yeah, if you want to come see a show, or I don't know, like leave a bad Yelp review or send me a Venmo, by all means, please.
Awesome. And you can follow the show at I Can Steal That on all of the socials, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter. Twitter and Instagram are really the ones that get used the most. I don't use TikTok anymore because mm-hmm. that's just flat out spyware. I have imposter syndrome with my job, but I work in cybersecurity. I'm like, I can't have this. Like, this is bad.
I get that.
Like if they found this on my phone, like I should be fired. But a lot of people do good content. I'll see it on Instagram eventually. If I don't see it on Instagram as a reel, then it's not viral enough.
Yeah, it's not worth it. Thank you for that. Speaking of viral, you and your viral tweet I saw on every single platform to ever exist.
It's wild. There's been a couple of them this year. I'm figuring. I think I got the formula now. You need a little nostalgia. Uh-huh. You need a small error.
Uh huh.
So that people can like argue about it and like feel mm-hmm. better about themselves, and then they share it.
Yeah.
So like if I threw like a grammatical mistake or a spelling error, that's mm-hmm.
that's gold.
That's viral town.
Damn. And do you have like this is probably so fascinating for listeners, algorithm stuff, but do you have like, are there, because I know there's like, when my tweet got a lot of hits, it was because someone sent it to like another account that like would just like, oh, they just retweet tweets that don't get seen but they think they should, and that kind of got seen by other people. So do you have accounts that you'll like kind of like tag or like send it to once you send it out, or just let it do its thing?
I usually just kind of let it do its thing.
Okay.
Like there's a couple of the military ones that I'll like, you know, point military content creators mm-hmm. towards.
Yeah.
But other than that, I just kind of, because like, you never know which ones are going to hit.
I know. There's times where I'm like, this is fucking fire. This is going to get me on Jimmy Fallon no time. And then it gets nothing.
Yeah. Like 8 likes.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a good day for me if that happens. But I get it. But. Man, so you should teach a lesson on how to be viral.
I still have to work on it. I feel like 2 is a fluke, but if I get like 3 or if I hit like another 2 by the end of the year, then I'll know.
This is what my manager says when it comes. This is only for like bad things in the workplace, but this also can apply to life. So 1 is a fluke, 2 is a pattern, 3 is a problem. But you can make that positive, where it's like 1 is a fluke, 2 is a pattern, and 3 is consistent. So
I like it. That's good.
Yeah. I like it too.
All right. Well, this was super fun. Thank you so much for doing this.
Oh, Pete, this was awesome. Thank you for having me. I love true crime and like talking shit. So these are two things I really enjoy doing.
Awesome. I'm super excited about this. Thank you again for doing the show. Thank you for listening. If you've been liking the podcast, leave us a review, Instagram, Spotify, Apple, iTunes, not Instagram. You can't review on Instagram. I'm getting back into it. That's the first mistake. We're an hour in. I'm going to count that as a victory. But yeah, just leave us a review. Tell a friend about it. And we will be back very soon with another new episode of I Can Steal That. Thanks for listening.
Bye.
All right. Bye. Thank you.